The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I imagine most everyone has learned to be a little bit leery about fish stories. It seems often to be the case that the catch grows with each subsequent telling of the tale. That doesn't stop people from listening to fish stories, though. They're often dramatic and exciting, entertaining because of the intrinsic suspense and also the enthusiasm with which they're told. There certainly is drama and suspense in the fish story which is included in our text this morning. The first element of surprise is simply in the fact that Peter decides to go fishing. What's that about? It's not what we might have expected from him and the others, following two appearances of the risen Christ in that locked room in Jerusalem. "Peace be with you," Jesus had said to them. "As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you." Then the next thing we know, they're fishing. There's also the futility of fishing all night and catching nothing, suddenly reversed when the net is cast on the other side and is filled to bursting. Peter jumping in the water, and the report of a catch of 153 large fish. The disciples, and at least the fishermen among them, who had earlier experienced the miraculous catch of Jesus' word, must have had a sense of deja vu all over again. There's no doubt that but what happened that morning so long ago in the Sea of Galilee was a miracle. And John tells this story well. Drama, suspense, the surprise ending, all of them are present. But it's important that we not get so caught up in the fish story with all of its vivid details that we miss out on the real point of John's account here. Note how he begins. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. And then how he ends this account. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus revealed himself again. He revealed himself in this way. This was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples. Do you get the idea that John saw this as much more than just a fish story when he recorded it? By his own testimony, this text is about Jesus' revelation of himself to his disciples following his resurrection. The fact that it takes place not in Jerusalem but up in Galilee need not surprise us. On Easter morning, after telling the women, "He is not here, for he is risen," as he says, the angel continued, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." The fact that this appearance occurs while the disciples are fishing is a bit more curious. Perhaps, though, there's nothing more to it than the fact that Peter was a man of action, with a streak of impetuousness. Perhaps he couldn't stand just sitting around waiting for Jesus to appear. He had to have something to do. And pitching in his family's business passed the time while he was waiting. But why did Jesus appear as he did? Why wasn't he recognized right away? Why did he make breakfast for these disciples? And what about John's statement? Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. John doesn't indicate for us why Jesus appeared in this way at this time. But there are a few possibilities we can know. Most basically, this is where the disciples were. Jesus could hardly have met them someplace else while they were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. More to the point, though, in revealing himself as he did and in furnishing the men with a miraculously abundant catch, Jesus was reminding at least some of them of their first experiences with him. Few years earlier, after a similarly miraculous catch, Peter had responded by falling down at Jesus' knees and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Whether it was the distance, the darkness which lingers even as dawn breaks, a mist from the lake, as we heard in our hymn, or perhaps, as on the road to Emmaus, just because that's how Christ wanted it, Jesus allowed these fishermen to remain in the dark about him until he enlightened them by means of a miraculous catch. When he sees the net suddenly full of fish, a light goes on for John. He says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Here, right in the center of the text, we see Jesus' purpose realized. He came to reveal himself, and now his disciples have recognized him. This time, there's no bowing down in fear for Peter, no saying, "Depart from me." This time, he can't contain his joy and excitement. Not waiting for the boat to get to shore, he leaves the fish, throws on an outer garment, and dives into the lake to swim to Jesus. It is the Lord. When Jesus is revealed to him, Peter responds in eager faith and joy. It is the Lord. John doesn't share any interaction between Jesus and Peter when he arrives dripping from the lake. Knowing Peter, he probably said something. And because of what he did when John said, "It is the Lord," it's likely Peter's words revealed not fear, but rather joy and faith. The next thing John writes, though, is that the boat has arrived and Jesus has a hot breakfast waiting. This seems a bit strange too. On the other hand, isn't it typical that Jesus provides for the needs of his disciples? Out of concern for their faith, he repeatedly revealed himself to them as risen and living. We see the same thing in the other readings this morning, where Jesus reveals himself to Saul as Lord and Savior, converting him from being a persecutor so that he becomes a Christian and an apostle. So also in the epistle, part of Jesus' great revelation to John, in which he shows himself in heavenly glory to strengthen the faith of John and of all believers hard pressed by persecution and affliction. Last week in the gospel we heard, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." But Jesus didn't call it good enough with his appearance on the evening of that second Sunday of Easter. He came again to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee and on the Mount of Ascension, then especially to Saul, and in an even more extraordinary way to St. John on Patmos. Jesus doesn't want to leave any room for doubt. He wants all people to be able to confess, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." That's why he revealed himself again and again. He reveals himself also to us in different but still vivid way, in his word and in the sacrament. He does it so that we too may recognize it is the Lord. But he doesn't care only about faith. He provides also for the physical needs of his disciples. They've been out all night. So besides revealing himself to them, he also provides nourishment for their bodies. Broiled fish and bread are ready. And to supplement what he's prepared, he's given them a great abundance of fish that they can throw on the fire. He took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. He opened his hand and satisfied the desires of his disciples. This breakfast brings us to the curious verse, "Now none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord." If they knew it was the Lord, why did such a question arise? They had listened to him. and followed him and been with him constantly for some 3 years. They knew it was the Lord. But now everything was different, even though some things were the same. Now he was hidden, and then he revealed himself. Now he was here, and then he was gone. Their silent question then perhaps has something of their inquiry after he stilled the storm. When filled with great fear, they said, "Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey him?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, as he lay stunned on the ground. "Who are you?" It's a question that arose for the disciples, because even though they knew it was their Lord, their understanding hadn't caught up with their faith. They knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They knew that he was the Savior who had died and then rose again and was standing before them alive. But they didn't know where he would go from here. They didn't know how long he would be with them. They didn't know his plans. "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" they would ask not long after this, as he was about to ascend back into heaven. They knew it was the Lord, but there was much they didn't know, much about which they were uncertain. It's perhaps a bit of a comfort for us to know that even after he had risen and appeared to them, the disciples continued to live with questions and some uncertainty. We know both of those things all too well. But we also have an example of trust, and especially the record of Jesus' faithfulness to them. We don't need to know the future, what will happen to us, and on which day Jesus will finally reveal himself in glory. We know that he lives. We know that he is faithful. We know that he has promised to come again. So even in the midst of confusion and uncertainty of life, we know that he was dead and is alive again. We know that he is the Lord, and we know that we can trust him to keep his promises, to work out all things together for the eternal good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that in confident faith and certain hope, we rejoice today that he revealed himself to his disciples, that in his word and in the sacrament, he reveals himself to us still today, and that on the last day, he will be revealed again and take all who have trusted in him to come to be with him in glory. The Lord preserve you in faith and grant this to you all. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.